One of my all-time favorite television commercials, you see an image of a yoke, not a yoke. We had that discussion in Sunday school this morning. There's a difference in a yoke and a yoke, right? One of the imageries in one of my favorite commercials is of a yoke, and it was during that time, I believe it was Verizon, the telephone industry persons that would speak and say, "Can you hear me now?" You remember those commercials? And sometimes the reception wasn't so good, and what was said wasn't understood on the other end. And it showed a cowboy once on this commercial. And he said, "I asked for 100 oxen, and they sent me all these wiener dogs." And the commercial goes on and shows these little wiener dogs, which our dog is not a wiener dog. He's a dachshund, okay? Shows them jumping around, and a couple of them are hemmed up within a yoke as if oxen were going to carry it. And of course, they couldn't carry it. They were just more or less standing within the confines of the yoke. It was too heavy for them. It was too much to bear. You know, there's this call in our scripture today to humility. A call to be humble, and really, in the words and in the spirit of those dachshunds, to understand at the very elements of our faith, or let's just leave out the faith talk a minute, at the very essence of our life journey, just trying to get through life, it's important to understand, to humbly respond to what we can handle on our own, and what's too heavy for us to carry. The yoke of life. You know, humility. It's something that I've been encouraged at times to be careful for praying for humility. Because you might get humbled. And sometimes that's not a fun journey, correct? I've shared with some of you before the story of when we had just moved to Corinth. And it bears repeating. You know, when I say that, when I say I've shared with you before, and it bears repeating, that means I've probably used that illustration before here, and I've about gone through all my good stuff, so I'm coming back around on round two for y'all. Dr. Holland, you feel my pain? Sometimes you have to do some repeats along the way, church folk. So those of you that hadn't heard it, you're going to like this story, and those of you that have, laugh real big, like you haven't heard it. We had been in Corinth for some time, and we moved from the big city of St. Louis, where we didn't know very many people, and we got reacquainted with small town life where everybody knows everybody. And as we know, there are good things and bad things to that, right? There's pros and cons, as with most decisions or journeys we make in life. Monty and I had been at Corinth long enough to get acquainted with a lot of folks, and we called one of the local restaurants there, Cafe Mike's, and we placed our order. And traditionally, when I place a call-in order somewhere, I would say Hill. That's my last name. Or in a great southern dialect, I'd say Hill in St. Louis. And they say, "Is that spelled H-E-I-L or H-E-A-L? So I learned to pronounce it Hill. Hill in the Midwest and Hill in Mississippi. And as I called Cafe Mike's to place my order that day, I thought, you know, I'm not going to say Hill. They know who I am. I've been here long enough. It's a small town. I'm just going to say it's for Jody." And that's what I did. She took my order, never stuttered, wrote it down. I said, "See, they know me. I'm somebody here now. I'm Jody." So I went to get my order, pulled up to the drive-thru window, saw Martha there, a friend of ours that we knew. She said, "Hey, Jody." See, they know me. She said, "You doing it? How's Manya?" "Good, she's doing well." I said, "Well, I'm looking for your order and I can't find it." She said, "What'd you order?" And I told her, I said, "Well, this is what we had." And she said, "Yeah, I see a ticket here that has that on it, but it doesn't have your name. It has P-E-R-C-H-O-D-I, Perchody." She said, "How'd they get Perchody?" I said, "I don't know. I called it in and I said, it's for Jody." And somehow she got Perchody out of that. So I was humbled once more. I wasn't as well known as I thought. I got knocked down a step or two. Such happens at times when we think perhaps too much of ourselves. And even more so, maybe when we think too low of the one around us or those around us. So the call to humility is central in the gospel and in our journey of faith and life. That's what Jesus uses here in this passage to describe himself. He says those beautiful, eloquent words. Receive them with me, church, perhaps with fresh ears today, when he says, "Come to me, all of you that are weary and burdened." Because why? Because I am gentle and humble. That's the nature of our God. The characteristics of the one we serve as Lord is a gentle and humble Savior. His yoke. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. As I visited with the high schoolers this morning in Sunday school, we were talking about that yoke. And so often, my mind's eye, when I see the passage of Scripture about the yoke, I think of it as something, yes, that God's placing upon us. He says, "My yoke is easy. Take my yoke upon you." And I found that encouraging because I said, you know, God's yoke is easy. I can handle it, he says here in our passage. But you know, those brilliant high schoolers helped me to see this text in a new way today. When they saw that imagery of the yoke, they said, you know, we looked it up on our iPhones. They may even Facebook me after a while and send me that picture. We looked it up in Sunday school and they said, it shows here that that yoke is made for two animals to carry it. How about that, church? You see where we're going with this? Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, because guess who's going to help you carry my yoke? Me, the Savior, says the Lord. Take my yoke. Because in the words of our passage, it's not so much we that carry the yoke. God carries it for us and journeys with us along life's road. Friends, that's good news. Do these words speak to you on your journey today? Listen to the call as we talk and consider these ancient writings. Can they apply to the 20th century struggles that we're going through? Jesus asks for those to come to him who are what? Who are weary. Who are carrying heavy burdens. Can we relate to that in our world, in our journey? We know at times what it means to be weary. Certainly we've all had heavy burdens, things that are heavier than we can carry. Stress, depression, frustration, illnesses, relationship challenges, whether they be at work or at school, or heaven forbid, even at times in the church. Jesus knows that life can be heavy, that it can be weary, that such is our journey to carry at times heavy burdens. And he says to us, come to me, because I don't give more burdens. I give what? I give rest. Wow. What a refreshing word to our world. And he says it twice. You know, I'm often grateful when the writers repeat those words. They Jody-proof it when they do that. You know what Jody-proof, it's a nice way of saying dummy-proof it. They say it twice for me. Jesus uses that word rest twice. And isn't that a foreign word to our culture? And our dog-eat-dog world at times? We're in such a hurry. We've got to get so much done. The pressure, the stress, the challenges of life. My goodness, if we don't have them in life, we even have them in the church. We've got to grow our church. We've got to get our numbers up. We've got to do this and be this. And Jesus says, come to me and find rest. Wow. The nature of the Savior. The call to faith. But you know, I hear in this text not only a call for us to be humble and find the gentleness of our Lord as a gift, but it's also a call for us to live in that nature and embody that spirit ourselves. It's commissioned to us as the church, as people of faith. He says, do you hear the words of Jesus where he says, learn from me? In other words, I'm the teacher, and if someone wants us to learn something, that means we need to take on that principle. We need to apply it to our life. So learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. So we, church folk, are called to be gentle and humble in heart. So are you ready to do that? Or are you skeptical this morning saying, okay, preacher, you're getting into that old liberal feel-good stuff and you're telling me to just be a doormat and let people run all over me? Perhaps we can read it that way. But I think if we get down into the essence of the text, in the life of Jesus, there is nothing about being a doormat in that call of humility and gentleness. Sure, there's going to be times that we can't be humble and gentle in our journey, but what if we start out in our relationships, in our challengings, in our life circumstances that present us problems? What if we start out with gentleness and humbleness before blowing off with extreme exaggeration and interactions from the get-go? See, I think it works. And it'll never work if we don't try it. I watched last evening the ESPN documentary on the life of Marcus Dupree. Some of you may have seen that or be familiar with the life of Marcus Dupree, an outstanding high school football player in the early 80s from Philadelphia, Mississippi. Perhaps the greatest running back ever in high school football. Went to the University of Oklahoma, broke records upon records in his freshman year. But it didn't last. His life eventually endured injuries, the life of football. But even before that, there was an injury in relationships between he and his head football coach, Barry Switzer, there at Oklahoma. In some ways, Switzer speaks with regret today, saying that I coached Marcus the wrong way. I was too hard on him. You know, we all, each of us, have relationships where it takes different interaction with people. Marcus's uncle described him this. He said he was the kind of person, if you patted him on the back, Marcus was and is, why, he would jump to the moon for you. If you bragged on him, nurtured him, patted him on the back a little bit. Oh, but if you beat him down, he'd quit on you. He'd stop working. You wouldn't get the best out of him. Seems like it's consistent with the call of our faith, doesn't it? Jesus perhaps understands there's a little bit of Marcus Dupree in all of us. That if we start out with our children, with our church, with our employees, and maybe even our bosses, as we look at those relationships, with gentleness and humility, there is room to inspire them to jump to the moon for us and the world around us. And that's not manipulation. That's living the life of Jesus to a world in need of his love. You know, we think back on this Independence Day weekend, the beginning of this country, the celebration we have of our freedom, and those who sacrifice that we recognize this morning to make it possible. And you think about the beginning of this country, how at that time, one of the inspiring acts for the American people to seek their independence was because they were received or treated with heavy-handedness from their mother country, who did not treat them gently or humbly. You see the difference? We see the positive attributes that can come when we respond to the world with gentleness and humble spirits, but we also see the negative connotations when we respond with heavy-handedness, no gentleness, and arrogance without a regard for humility. Let's take on the nature of Christ in our relationships as we seek to serve the world and be His light of love. You know, recently Luke and some of his little buddies, they had a play day at the house. And you get about four or five boys together, and if you turn your back for too long, trouble's not far away. Can anybody feel my pain there? 10, 11-year-old guys. Started raining on this day, and I thought, well, they must be inside playing. No, I looked outside, and they were all on the trampoline, jumping up and down, running around, sloshing in the mud. Two or three of them's mama were going to come get them in just a few hours, and here they were soaking wet, grass all over them. I thought, boy, they're going to get it now, aren't they? Stopped raining, the sun came out, and you know I had a choice to make as a dad. I could have gotten mad and thrown a fit. Lost my humility and gentleness. There really wasn't much harm done there, was there? But instead of throwing a big fit, I tried to reminisce and remember I may have done something like that when I was a kid. I don't really know. I think I was a pretty good kid. I didn't get amen from my mom and daddy over that. I heard that they used to have to pay my brother to be good. And they said I was always good for nothing. So how about that? My goodness. But old Luke and his buddies, you know what I did? I took those clothes and I laid them out on our patio, every one of them, Luke's, his friends, and let the sun shine down upon them. You know what happened within just a few hours? They were dried out enough, not completely, that I could shake the grass off of them, clean them up a little bit, and have them ready to go on their way. Is there stories about our journey in that little goofy story about 11-year-old kids playing in the rain? Sometimes the world is weary. Sometimes there are storms that come upon us and rain down peril in our lives. We can get covered with stains worse than grass, and pain that we feel and carry with us. But friends, the call of our text, do you hear how it began today? Where Jesus says, come to me, all of you. Not some of you. All of you who are weary and burdened, not those who deserve it. All of you who are carrying heavy loads, not those who have it all together. All of you. And you're broken and dirty and wet stayed as people of faith. And let the embers of my sun dry you and shine upon you and restore your clothing and your outer shell of a body to look more like me. For I'm gentle and humble, says the Lord. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Amen. Let's respond now in faith by